This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Millions would drop coverage. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Tuesday, March 14. Welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
The Congressional Budget Office says 14 million Americans would not have health insurance next year under a proposed replacement for Obamacare. Hear what both sides are saying.
The East Coast is getting hammered by a late winter nor'easter, which is expected to drop snow from North Carolina to Maine.
White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer appears to be walking back President Trump's allegation that his phones were tapped by the previous administration.
And the business winners and losers during a massive snowstorm like the one hitting the Northeast today.
The first is a little bit obvious, which is that fewer people go out during a winter storm than on a normal day of the week. You know, makes perfect sense. But what you might not expect is that there is, if they do go out, these people are more likely than they would be to visit a liquor store, a wine shop, or a bar.
That's my kind of people right there. Sarah Spagnolo at Foursquare explains data about customer behavior during a snowstorm. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, a nor'easter has arrived in the Northeast, dropping steady snow in the New York and Washington, D.C. regions as residents prepared for what many are calling a historic storm. The National Weather Service issued a blizzard warning affecting almost 20 million people, including New York City. Winter storm watches and warnings were in effect from the mountains of North Carolina all the way to northern Maine. That's a distance of more than 1,000 miles. Mike Fitzgerald lives in Concord, New Hampshire.
Obviously, the nice weather we've had the past couple weeks is preferred, but we always seem to get nailed sometime in March, so kind of getting prepared for it.
The storm is expected to hit all day today along the East Coast, with some areas getting up to 2 feet of snow north of New York City into New England. Wind gusts could reach 60 miles an hour, which could cause power outages since wet snow will be sitting on those power lines. By last night, airlines had canceled more than 7,000 flights through tomorrow. Once the snow ends, by the way, it'll stick around for some time. Temperatures are expected to remain chilly through the end of the week. An analysis says 14 million Americans would lose their health insurance next year under legislation designed to replace Obamacare. In 2026, the Congressional Budget Office said yesterday that figure would reach 24 million. Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price disagrees with the findings.
We disagree strenuously with the report that was put out. We believe that our plan will cover more individuals at a lower cost and give them the choices that they want for the coverage that they want for themselves and for their family.
A big reason people would choose not to buy health insurance because they would no longer be penalized for not having it. Another factor? Lower coverage under Medicaid. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer.
Remember when President Trump was a candidate? He said everyone will be covered and costs will go down. We now know that he had no intention of keeping either promise.
CBO also found the legislation would reduce the federal deficit and would lead insurance premiums to increase at first, then shrink. It also estimates the bill would squeeze $880 billion from federal Medicaid spending over 10 years, freezing funding in 2020 for the 31 states that expanded the program. The analysis also says that eventually fewer employers would offer health insurance because of reduced incentives. Let's get some analysis now from Roger Abramson, general counsel for Ameriflex, one of the nation's largest independent health benefits administrators. He's with us live this morning. Roger, millions would lose insurance because they would choose not to buy it? Is that what's happening here?
Well, that's what the CBO is saying based on just the general application of, I assume, incentives, which would be the opposite of the incentive they used under their analysis of the Affordable Care Act, which was, of course, again, what we like to call the individual mandate. If you make people do something, allegedly, they will go do it. If you don't, they may not. And that's sort of the analysis they're using. And it makes some sense on the surface. The interesting thing, though, if you look at their own analysis under the Affordable Care Act, if that were to continue as it is, it levels out we're still at 1 in 10 Americans uninsured, which is, of course, the Republican response with regard to the Affordable Care Act. The Democratic response is that's still going to be more than would be covered under the House Republican plan.
Yeah.
So there we are.
Well, the kind of the wording, though, makes it seem like these people are being stripped of their coverage when that, I guess, is not necessarily the choice. They're just choosing not to buy it. They want to spend their money elsewhere.
That's a bit of the spin, yes. If you are a person who supports the Affordable Care Act, generally one of the Democratic Party and so forth, you're trying to spin this and say, well, people are being kicked off their coverage, they're losing their coverage. That's not exactly what the CBO is saying. They're just saying the incentive, which is not a carrot but a stick, the individual mandate would be removed under this language, and therefore their estimation is people would just simply drop it themselves rather than be kicked off.
Yeah.
Whether that's a good or a bad thing is for discussion, but they're not necessarily being kicked off.
There's a Wall Street Journal editorial today says the Republican gamble here is that the stability of the individual insurance market would improve with better incentives and if people want to participate. Would that happen? Is that your sense?
That's the sense, and that I have in general. Now, whether this plan gets that specifically, I think is up for discussion, and that's going to be what the Senate's going to be about and what this process is going to be about. You know, the Republicans, in a way, are a little bit kind of the proverbial dog that caught the car. They've suddenly gotten the ability to replace it, and now they're kind of stuck having to deal with expanding coverage in hopes that they can, or expanding those opportunities while lowering costs. And that's a tough thing to do. Doesn't mean it can't happen, but it's going to be a tough haul for all of them on all sides.
We're speaking live this morning with Roger Abramson, General Counsel for Ameriflex, Independent Health Benefits Administrator. We're talking about this Congressional Budget Office report that says upwards of 24 million Americans would not have coverage by the year 2026 under this House Republican plan to replace Obamacare. A slightly different take here. David Leonhard in the New York Times, an opinion piece, says the bill effectively rescinds benefits for the elderly, poor, sick, and middle class and funnels the money to the rich via tax cuts. What about that take?
That's an overstatement, I think. That's going to be the typical take on it from folks from a particular sector, New York Times being one of them. And I also kind of question why, you know, if it takes coverage away from folks, so why only certain folks seem to be more important than others?
Okay.
Understanding even whether it does, which it does not. That's not to say this plan is perfect. And I personally think, and this is a bit of a it goes against the grain, I think some version of the individual mandate will come back.
Really?
Whether it's some sort of reverse incentive, yes, because I believe personally, and you look at the analysis, I don't think this system works unless you have some sort of carrot or stick in place. And whether it's the individual mandate as it was, that's very unlikely because that was so much a part of the ACA or some other version of it. You have to have something there to encourage people to be part of the system, and I think it's probably going to require more than just offering more choices. I tend to be, this is a personal statement, very free market, libertarian incentive, that kind of thing. But there are certain things, there are certain folks that just are not going to get into the system until they're sick, and there has to be something there.
Right. The simpleton in me wonders sometimes, Roger, why can't we go back to like the Little House on the Prairie days when you just paid a doctor just a reasonable fee for service? What happened to that?
Well, that's a great point. There's an analogy that gets thrown around a lot that I think has a lot of validity, and that is the auto insurance analogy. I don't call my auto insurance company to pay for my oil change. I pay my car insurance company to pay for if there is an accident or some sort of high out-of-pocket expense. Why not go back to that? And I think you'll see some things. For instance, the Republicans are very excited about the expansion of health savings accounts, which in all fairness and bias, my company helps to administer those, so I am as well. But that is something where people say, look, I have an insurance policy. It covers my high catastrophic expenses, but I can pay things out of pocket myself and choose my doctor, choose my provider, choose when I go, choose what I need to pay for. And I think you will see that as part of any package that ultimately comes out of Congress.
Very good. Hey, Roger, thanks for a few minutes this morning. Nice talking to you. Roger Abramson, General Counsel for Ameriflex, a large independent health benefits administrator. It's 16 minutes now after the hour on this morning America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help to become a leader in industries that range from agribusiness and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work, wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Glad you could be with us. It's 21 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Florida forecasters are warning that wind gusts of up to 50 miles an hour and low visibility could extend from the Philadelphia area to Maine today. A nor'easter is pounding parts of the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeast, and nearly 8,000 flights have been canceled. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says the city will do the best it can.
I think it's going to be normal to see a lot of streets where the snow covers the streets throughout the day as sanitation tries to deal with a vast volume of snow coming in.
Amtrak has canceled or modified service up and down the Northeast Corridor, and many schools are closed in New York City, Philadelphia, Boston, and places in between. State police in Illinois say snowy weather conditions caused two vehicle pileups on a Chicago expressway that involved a total of 34 cars. Seven people sustained minor injuries in last night's pileups on the Kennedy Expressway. The National Weather Service has issued a lake effect snow warning for Chicago that expires this afternoon. President Trump has signed an order aimed at streamlining the executive branch. Trump says the new executive order requires the examination of every federal department and agency to see where money is being wasted, how services can be improved, and whether programs are truly serving American citizens. Bill Cosby may end up before a jury of his peers, but they won't be his neighbors. The judge handling his criminal case has decided that the panel that will hear his sexual assault case will be picked not from the Philadelphia area where Cosby lives, but from Allegheny County, which encompasses Pittsburgh. Cosby's lawyers had asked the judge for outside jurors because of the ongoing publicity over the case in which Cosby is charged with drugging and molesting a former Temple University employee. The trial is to begin in June. And the girl with a dragon tattoo is making a comeback with a new actress in the starring role. Columbia Pictures says the sequel to the movie will begin production in September with a brand new cast. It will have an October 2018 release date.
So much creativity and originality going on in Hollywood these days.
I would say with a new actress and a whole new cast, it's not really a sequel. That would be my contention in some respects.
Right.
I mean, it might be the same storyline, but that's a little weird.
Fair point. How about just something original? Huh? Can we do that, Hollywood? 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Ransomware is software that can infiltrate your business through email, enabling cyber criminals to hijack sensitive information as ransom for your own data's release. Leveraging Barracuda email security with advanced threat detection can stop a ransomware attack in its tracks. As an added measure, Barracuda Backup allows you to recover your data without having to surrender to extortion. Crime doesn't pay when you protect your business data with Barracuda. Go to Barracuda.com/ransomware to learn more.
Glad you're with us. Time now for a technology update, and it's brought to you by Dell. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors can help you upgrade to powerful new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. When a big winter storm hits, like the one blanketing the Northeast today, who are the winners and losers in the business world? Here's analysis from Sarah Spagnolo, editor-at-large at Foursquare, who's looked at previous storm behavior by consumers. Sarah, what do we have?
So earlier last year, there was Winter Storm Jonas, which was another blizzard that hit the Mid-Atlantic region up through the Northeast. So that seems like an apt comparison for us now that we have Winter Storm Stella, which is barreling down on the East Coast. So there were a couple really interesting things that we found. The first is a little bit obvious, which is that fewer people go out during a winter storm than on a normal day of the week. you know, makes perfect sense. But what you might not expect is that there is, if they do go out, these people are more likely than they would be to visit a liquor store, a wine shop, or a bar.
My kind of people right there. I always joke, listen, never mind the bread and the milks and all that other stuff. Give me some wine, little cheese, and I'll ride this thing out. All's good.
Exactly. And that falls in line a little bit with something that we've seen year over year. So, you know, we call ourselves a location intelligence company. That's because we use location technology to understand how people move through the world, always anonymously and in the aggregate. And, you know, we actually saw year over year that there has been a surge in people going to liquor stores more broadly. So we're not really surprised to see that, you know, this past year and probably over this storm, Stella, as well, we're going to see even more people go to a liquor store to stock up and make sure that they're well satisfied and calm during what's anticipated to be a couple feet of snow.
Wow. So on a somewhat related note then, although slightly off track, is that related perhaps to the surge in the stock market as of late?
You can make that connection. I'm not going to. All we know is that people love their liquor and beer and wine, and so we're happy to satisfy them and see them going to the places they need to go to get that.
Wow.
Something else that's kind of fun, which we saw, is that there was actually a decrease during the winter storms of people going to fast food.
I see. So you don't want to do all the driving at once. It's okay to go to a restaurant, sit down for an hour and a half, and then drive home. You just don't want to do two legs all in one shot.
Correct. So you definitely make sure that you're stopping at a destination restaurant or someplace where, or going to an errand that you really, really do have to run.
Okay, very good.
Something that's also interesting is we were able to look at foot traffic around various heat waves that we had last year. So a heat wave in Arizona and one that we had in the Northeast over the summer. You know, for those types of warmer weather moments, of course, we see an increase in people going to pools, to ice cream, to frozen yogurt spots, also movie theaters, sandwich shops. That's not the same type of foot traffic behavior that we identify during storms. So that's kind of, you know, it's an obvious one, but something that we definitely noted.
Sarah Spagnolo from Foursquare. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let's talk about wine for just a moment, specifically Cameron Hughes wine. I've been a fan for some time. Cameron has relationships with these high-end wineries and producers all over the world. He takes what they're not going to bottle, puts it in his own bottle, slaps his label on it, and you get luxury wine at an affordable price. And all the bottles are guaranteed. If you're not happy, he'll make it right. And right now, Cameron Hughes has an exclusive offer for our listeners. You get free shipping on your order and a free sommelier-grade corkscrew. It's a great deal to try wines that are already up to 50% off because they are sold directly to you. It's a no-brainer to try Cameron Hughes wine. Free shipping and your free sommelier corkscrew at chwine.com and enter the code DEAL. chwine.com and the code DEAL. Don't wait. It is a limited-time offer. The wine is fantastic. The deal's great. I want you to go online and order it today. chwine.com with the code DEAL.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Glad you're with us. Tuesday, March 14, Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. New report says 14 million people would not have health insurance next year under the Obamacare replacement because they wouldn't be forced to. Big snowstorm for the Northeast today. Princeton basketball players will take midterms at a hotel in Buffalo ahead of their NCAA tournament game Thursday since they left town early to avoid the storm. Tech experts say a phone can be hacked using sound waves to exploit a vulnerability in its accelerometer. And chickens wearing sweaters to stay warm. That story in about 20 minutes. 24 minutes in front of the hour. President Trump arrives at the midpoint of his first 100 days in office with a handful of accomplishments under his belt, yet many more unanswered questions on his horizon. It's a story from Sarah Westwood, White House correspondent at the Washington Examiner. Sarah, set this up.
Well, we're just a little bit past the 50-day mark for President Trump, and when it comes to what he had on the docket for his first 100 days agenda for executive orders, he's made significant progress, but he laid out a lot of specific legislative achievements he wanted to hit in his first 100 days, and he's far from halfway there. I mean, there were 10 items on his list of legislative goals, and he's barely just started one of those, which is Obamacare repeal and replacement. Some of the other things he had wanted to do in his first 100 days, tax cuts, education reform, those things are nowhere near the end zone, and now he's more than halfway done with the first 100 days period.
You think he underestimated the complexities of navigating Capitol Hill?
I think any president who comes into office is has a little bit of surprise at how complicated it is and how difficult it is to get things done in the government. Even when it comes to executive orders, there are so many limitations on what a president can do unilaterally. And then when it comes to getting things done on Capitol Hill, there are so many different constituencies that you have to please, so many different dissenting voices that you have to get together. I mean, in a lot of ways, it's very difficult to get things done on Capitol Hill, even when you have a situation like President Trump does with his party controlling both houses of Congress. It's not guaranteed that he's going to achieve things easily, and we're seeing those complications unfold now.
You think the priorities have reshuffled at all?
Well, certainly the Obamacare repeal replacement is his main focus now, and I think maybe the administration, when they first came into office, probably privately recalibrated their expectations for what they were going to get done in this first 100 days, which is really nothing more than a symbolic time frame for which presidents, you know, do things, and they're often judged by how much they accomplish in those first 100 days. But I'm sure the Trump administration took a look at everything they had said they wanted to do at the beginning of the start of Trump's presidency and said, you know what, now that we're here, now that we're starting to make some inroads on some of these things, we see that maybe it was a little ambitious to try to get 10 legislative packages through Congress.
Yeah.
In just the first 100 days.
We're speaking with Sarah Westwood, White House correspondent at The Washington Examiner. Her piece is called Trump's First 50 Days, 28 Executive Actions, but Other Goals Elusive. All right, so what happens next here? What do you think unfolds in the next, the next 50 days?
Well, this Obamacare repeal replacement has been so slow to get off the ground, and it's encountered so many hurdles here at the beginning, right after this bill was introduced in the House. But it's not even clear if the entire three-pronged strategy of healthcare reform will be completed in the next 50 days, let alone the other 9 legislative goals that Trump outlined for himself, because the administration is doing this in 3 what they call phases. One is the budget reconciliation bill working its way through the House now. One is regulatory modifications, orders that Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price is going to push through to do administratively what can be done to fix Obamacare. And the third is probably going to be the most difficult legislation that proceeds through the House and Senate through regular order, which means that it will require 60 votes to get through the Senate, meaning they'll have to get some Democrats on board. All of that's going to take a very long time, and potentially it's not something that you'll see get done in the next 50 days. You could, but there's already so much conservative opposition that it's not looking likely. And then because the Obamacare process is taking so long, that'll push back some of the other goals Trump had for his first year in office, like tax reform or an infrastructure package.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Westwood, White House correspondent at The Washington Examiner. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Good Tuesday to you. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's a question that's sure to come up in any of the big cities that are being bombarded with snow today. How much should you tip your delivery person if you send out for food during the storm? According to etiquette experts interviewed by Moneyish.com, you should be a little more generous on days like today, tipping at least 25 to 30%, depending on how bad the conditions are and what someone has to maneuver through to get to you. And if the delivery requires extreme effort, you should tip an extra $5 to $10. Of course, if past snowstorms are any indication, most of us won't do any of this. According to data from food services like Seamless and Grubhub, when snow dumped on cities like New York, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia, and Boston the past few years, tips on food deliveries rarely ever exceeded the standard 20%.
Is that right?
Yeah.
People are tough.
Yeah, I guess. Like, look, jeez, you know, look, I'm hungry. It's your job. Bring me my food, and, you know, I'll see you tomorrow.
Listen, you know I'm not big on tipping. Like, you know, with holiday time, you know, I feel like everybody just lines up for a tip. But, I
right.
mean, this is, like, extraordinary effort stuff.
Right.
I mean, this is probably some teenager who's not very experienced in this kind of weather.
Right.
Making almost what might be argued a life-threatening attempt to get you your food.
In some cases, we're talking about dangerous here.
Yeah.
You know what? You need your buffalo wings that badly? Throw me an extra couple of bucks?
Right. Oh, man. Come on. Give a guy a break or a woman. Jeez. The ante.
Yes, for sure. And aspiring property moguls, take note. The town of Tiller, Oregon is for sale. Asking price, just $3.5 million. And for an extra $350,000, you can have the old school, too. According to Roy, the mostly uninhabited, unincorporated town about 225 miles south of Portland originally went up for sale in 2015. The current deal at a now reduced price includes six houses and an apartment, industrial and commercial lots, and a building that once housed a gas station and a general store. About 250 people live in the surrounding area, but aside from the family that owns and is now selling the town, only two residents remain in Tiller itself, a former teacher who lives next to the school and the pastor of the local church.
Wow.
And I mean, and folks are saying, and again, this isn't exactly, you know, right on the outskirts of any city, but they're saying that, you know, it's about 250 acres or so, and that there have even been some interest in some possible investments, you know, real estate type investments here. So there's actually, you know, while the, you know, it sounds kind of a daydream for someone to own their own town, it also could be a good investment for you as well.
Is that right? Sales guy now?
That's what they're saying. That's what experts are saying. I'm not saying that. Lord knows I'm no real estate expert.
Commercial real estate investment guru Mike Gavin.
Some folks are saying, but again, if it was such a great investment, then they wouldn't have had to reduce the price from what they originally went up for in 2015, right?
Yeah, it's possible. 3.5 mil.
Yeah, that's it.
Get your own town.
Let's do it. Let's get 50 of our friends together. See what we can do here.
So this you got the former teacher and you got the pastor at the church.
Yes.
They're the only two sort of wandering around your, what, how many acres? Something acres of property there.
Right.
You become the boss of these people? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. And again, I still don't know how you can own a town necessarily.
Again,
I guess because it's unincorporated. I don't know how that works exactly, but I don't know anybody who owns any towns.
225 miles south of Portland.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a drive.
It's,
if you want to go into town.
It's got to be, I guess, nearing the California border, but...
Right.
I don't know. Is that another state? 225 miles south of Portland? Holy smokes. It sounds very remote.
Yes.
Very remote. But yours for $3.5 million.
That's it.
13 minutes in front of the hour.
Prices are for base buildings only. Do not include windows, doors, or accessories. Warning! Don't let your business get left behind in what is likely to be the biggest economic boom in recent history. If you need to build to grow your business, call General Steel today. Steel prices are expected to rise, but you can still lock in your price on a General Steel building if you call now. For example, a 40 by 60 foot building is still less than $25,000. Even an 80 by 150 foot building is under $99,000.
Imagine 12,000 square feet for under $99,000.
This building is designed for your needs, no wasted space. And you get the General's quality and 50-year structural warranty at a price you can afford. You can still save as much as half the cost and time of conventional construction by calling General Steel today. As much as half. So don't let rising steel prices put your project out of reach and stop you from making your company great. Call now. 877-61-STEEL.
It's not too late. Call.
877-61-STEEL. That's 877-617-8335.
It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
According to the number of Americans without health insurance would grow by 24 million under a House Republican proposal to topple most of the Affordable Care Act, according to a nonpartisan report that's likely to complicate GOP lawmakers' efforts to unite around the plan. White House Budget Director Mick Mulvaney says the GOP plan is sound.
We believe, for some reasons that have been basic tenets of Republican conservative thought for a long time, that competition lowers costs. And what the CBO just told us is that's exactly right.
House Democratic Leader Nancy Pelosi.
I hope that they would pull the bill. It's really the only decent thing to do. Numbers are important. They see the numbers. They should know how that transfers into people's lives.
The report has rattled some centrist Republicans in the Senate who have already said they won't support legislation that leaves a large number of people without coverage. Snow has begun blanketing the Northeast as a winter storm packing blizzard conditions rolls into the region, prompting officials to ask people to stay home while airlines ground thousands of flights and schools canceled classes. The National Weather Service issued blizzard warnings for parts of 8 states, including New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Connecticut, with forecasts calling for up to 2 feet of snow by early tomorrow and temperatures 15 to 30 degrees below normal for this time of year. California has joined Washington State's growing effort to block President Trump's revised travel ban targeting predominantly Muslim nations, as Washington's attorney general sought a hearing before a federal judge to try to prevent the order from taking effect this week. In a new complaint filed in U.S. District Court yesterday, Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson asked for a hearing today with a judge based in Seattle, 2 days before the revised travel ban is scheduled to begin. Want to live longer? Have kids. According to a new study of more than 1.4 million people, parents live longer than adults without kids. A 60-year-old man with children will likely live 2 full years longer than one without children. A woman of the same age with children will live 1.5 years longer than one without.
Yeah, the problem is affording them. That's the thing.
Somehow you manage.
Outlive your money. More kids, more years added on? Yeah. That doesn't even seem logical. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Sweaters for chickens? Sounds like a joke, but a group of retirees in suburban Boston has hatched a plan to keep poultry warm during the New England winter. CBS News says the unusual project began after members of a knitting club at Fuller Village, a retirement home in Milton, Massachusetts, heard about the hardships that some chickens suffer this time of year. Certain breeds shed their feathers and grow new plumage in the winter months. Others imported from tropical climates, you know, just not suited for the wintry conditions. An organizer said the project benefits birds kept on a neighboring estate. Barbara Windmayer, who's 76, started knitting when she was 15. Among the sweaters she crafted by hand was one for Prince Peep, as he's known, a rooster that's native to Malaysia. The chickens seem to like them, too. An estate spokeswoman says egg production has jumped noticeably since the birds began wearing the sweaters. It's got some members of the club, too, wondering what exotic project to take on next. One said someone gave her an article about the need for blankets at an elephant refuge in India. Good luck with that one. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.